The music of Nancy Lee and the Hilltoppers.
In a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana, when I lay my back on the back of the moon.
Well, we are really pleased to welcome Nancy Lee from Nancy Lee and the Hilltoppers to the History of WoWo.com. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you doing, Randy?
Great. We're really happy to have you here.
Well, it's been a long time since we've gotten together.
It has.
Yes.
I remember many good memories of the Sunday Little Red Barn with you and Sam.
Oh, that was the happiest time of my life.
Maybe you can explain how you came to WoWo in the first place. And when you came to WoWo, you were not known as Nancy Lee and the Hilltoppers.
Right, that's right. Well, Sam had just gotten out of the service. He was in the Army for 2 years, and he was discharged. And his original group, all the boys were still in the service. So when Sam got out, he had to find some way to make a living. So he just joined whatever group needed him as an accordionist. So he joined the group that came there originally then.
The Oregon Rangers.
The Oregon Rangers, right. And when they came to Fort Wayne, they had a booking somewhere in the area. And Sam saw the WoWo sign over the station. And he said to the boys, let's go in and see if we can get an audition. Well, they went and got an audition, and Vandegrift hired him. He said, you have a job in 2 weeks. So Sam said, wonderful. But he told Vandy that this was not the original group, that he had a group of his own, but that they were still in the service. And when they got out, he said it would be a far different group than this was. So Vandy said, well, go ahead. He said, you just take over everything. So when we came to Fort Wayne, then it was the Oregon Rangers he was coming with, not the Nancy Lee and the Hilltoppers.
At what point did it become Nancy Lee and the Hilltoppers?
Well, when Jack Carmen got out of the service, and Slim McCarthy was a violinist with the Oregon Rangers. He wanted to go back to Chicago, and Eddie Johnson wanted to go back to California. So they left the group. In the meantime, Jack Carmen got out of the service, so he came back to the group, and I joined as the rhythm guitarist. And then Roy Hansen, who was with the Oregon Rangers, wanted to stay with the group. So that's how it became the Nancy Lee and the Hilltoppers.
Now, when was the first time? Do you recall the first time you were ever on the radio, period?
That goes back now to my sister and I, when we started as a duet. We were on WGN. One of the announcers there had a talent show in the evening, Quinn Ryan. It was like an amateur show. And my sister and I went on it, and they asked us to come back every so often on that same show. And then ABC started in Chicago at didn't last very long, but they asked us to come and be part of that radio station. So we had a few weeks there. And then WCFL in Chicago, we had a weekly show. And at that time, the Ink Spots were in that area too, and they were at the same radio station, WCFL. And we got to talk to them, never realizing that someday they would be as popular as they were. So that's how we started. And then my sister either had to keep going or she had a boyfriend, and he said it's either me or the business. So she chose him, and then I had to go on alone. That's when I met Sam's group.
What year was it? Do you remember what year it was when you first were on the radio?
Oh, my goodness. I was maybe between 14 and 15, and my sister was 17 or 18. And I'm 90 now, so you figure out.
So when you came to WoWo, tell us about the Hoosier Hop, because that is kind of a legendary show.
Oh, yes. That was the first show we were on as the group. It was Saturday night, and he had tremendous audiences. That was Harry Smythe's deal. He took care of the Hoosier Hop, and they used to hold it at one of the theaters. Well, there were so many people that a lot of them couldn't get in. So Harry decided to go to the Armory, and that was overflowing. So then he got the idea to build us his own place, and that's when he had Buckley Ranch. Then that was perfect, and we had shows every Saturday and Sunday at Buckley Ranch for, I think it was 10 years that Sam and I stayed there, and then I wanted to retire from that. I didn't want to be out every weekend, because I had a family then, and I had a home that I loved, and I wanted to be there too. So that's how that turned out.
Yeah, that facility at Buck Lake Ranch, which is near Angola, Indiana, which is about an hour north of Fort Wayne, or maybe a little less, that held 5,000 people?
Oh, yes, and it was packed every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. In fact, they had the Hoosier Hop program from the stage broadcast over WoWo. So that was every Saturday night. And we had a lot of mail from that show, too. So it was a wonderful time in our lives.
Tell us about the network broadcast, because the Hoosier Hop was heard coast to coast.
Yes, it was. We did have a coast-to-coast hookup, but I can't remember what network it was, because to me, I was just the guitar player and the comedian, and I didn't pay any attention to all the details.
How big was the cast of musicians on the show?
Oh, my goodness. There were two groups besides ours. There were Judy and Jen, and there was Howard Ropa. He was a baritone, a beautiful voice. I'm trying to remember some of the other people.
I'll tell you what, let me just ask you about some of the groups that I know of, and maybe you can tell us just a little bit about them. Kenny Roberts.
Kenny Roberts was part of the Down Homers group. He started out with the Down Homers, and then when he, I think he got a record going for him, I think then he left the group and went out on his own. But he was with the Down Homers when he started out on the show.
Another popular duo was Judy and Jen.
Judy and Jen were sisters. I think one of them was married to one of the Black Hawk Valley boys. I always remember them because they had a spot for Kroger, and it was about the loaves of bread there. And their song was, Two Loaves, Only 19 Cents. And I compare that with Two Loaves of Bread today. I can never forget that, Two Loaves for 19 Cents. Don and Helen were a duet. Now, Don was an announcer at WoWo, but he and Helen sang. And George Troxell had a dummy act that he did. And Herbie Hayworth was another old-timer. He was a singer and announcer.
Yeah, tell us about Herb Hayworth. What was he like? He worked at WoWo as an announcer originally?
Yes, he was an announcer. He had a beautiful voice for announcing and also for singing. But he was up in years when we came. But we used to have dinner at each other's house every Sunday. Now, I would cook one Sunday, and Herbie'd come and eat at our house. And then he'd cook one Sunday, we'd go and eat at his house. And he had been in show business for a long time with some of the old bands, and he traveled a lot around the country, but he got kind of tired of that after a while, and then he settled down and just did a lot of announcing and singing at WoWo.
Now, I had read the national broadcast of the Hoosier Hop ended in 1947. Does that sound about right?
Probably, but it kept going at Buckley Ranch without being broadcast.
Tell us about the Little Red Barn a little bit. You were on that for, gosh, how many years?
Well, I retired after 48 years here. And Sam retired after 50 from his regular job at the station, but he stayed on the air and did the Little Red Barn Sunday show. And they told him that he had a show there as long as he lived. They would always keep that show going. Well, he did. He stayed on there until he left this world. And if he was still here, he'd still be doing that show. I know.
I have no doubt.
He loved it, and it was good for him. And, of course, he loved music. And, you know, he had a super collection at the Smithsonian.
That was the next thing I wanted to ask you about. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Sam's sheet music collection, because it is legendary and is now housed in the Smithsonian.
Yes, right. Well, when I first met him, he told me that he collects sheet music. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, you know, if we can remember some of these old songs when we get older and look back at them. And I just thought, you know, it was a handful of music. But he had filing cabinet upon filing cabinet upon filing cabinet full of old sheet music. But he loved it. He won an Art Institute scholarship. And he had to choose between that or music. And he chose music because he said, the covers had art in themselves, and he enjoyed seeing the covers of the sheet music. So he collected songs that nobody else had. I mean, because people used to throw that away. He collected it, and he had a garage full of music, and I mean the whole garage was full of it. So when the Smithsonian saw that, they took it. So it's in a safe place, and people are still looking through and finding things they looked for years and years and couldn't find. So it has done some good.
You know, I remember coming to your house one time in the late 80s, and I knew Sam had a sheet music collection, and I knew it was big, but I couldn't really appreciate it until I saw he had these big wooden shelving units, I guess, for lack of a better term, in the garage.
Yeah, he had them built especially for the size of sheet music.
And the entire garage from top to bottom, front to back, and it was intricately filed.
Right, and our car never saw the inside of the garage, but that was okay. But that was his love. He loved it, and I appreciated the fact that he cared that much about it to want to preserve it. And in fact, he wanted to leave it in the Fort Wayne area, but whoever he notified about it, they said they had no room for it anyplace. So, of course, then this one collector that used to come here and go through some of Sam's music, because he was a collector too, and he worked for Washington, the Smithsonian. He looked at it and he said, Sam, that's got to go to the Smithsonian. He said, it'll be preserved, and he said, it'll live there forever. And we did get some called from a woman from Australia who was looking for, I think, a clown song that she had looked for years and years and couldn't find it. She found it in Sam's collection, and she called to tell him about it. He was still here then, and he was so pleased to know that somebody appreciated the fact that that was there.
Now, as I recall, Sam donated his collection to the Smithsonian in, what, about 1988 or 89, somewhere in there?
I think around that time, yeah.
And he didn't stop collecting music after he gave it to the Smithsonian.
No, he didn't. In fact, he had another collection going that my oldest daughter, who is now gone too, she had to try to find a home for it. And I think it went to the University of Ohio and the University of Indiana. They each have collections. Indiana has the Indiana songs, and the other one took the rest of it. So it's in those places, too.
The other interesting thing was those pieces of sheet music didn't just stay on a shelf collecting dust.
No.
There were many times on the Sunday Little Red Barn where you would perform music from his collection.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what made our group unusual, because we had songs that nobody else ever heard of and nobody else could have because they were the old sheet music and not too many people would keep that around. So we had an unusual group that did unusual stuff as far as music was concerned. And I think that made it more interesting and more enjoyable because you never knew what the next song was that he was bringing out. And he arranged every song on his own. We had arrangements that he wrote out so that everybody had their parts. So he was kept busy too.
The two other members of the Hilltoppers were Jack Carman and Roy Hansen. Can you tell us a little bit more about them, what instruments they played, and just a little about them?
Sure. Roy Hansen was the bass player, and he played the mandolin, and he did comedy. He had the Little Aloysius routine on the Red Barn, and then he did a lot of comedy on our road shows. He was married and had two daughters, and then, of course, he's gone now, too. And so was his wife. And Jack Carman was the violinist. I mean, he was a violinist, but he did learn how to play fiddle music. He also played the mandolin, and he and Roy had mandolin duets. And he was from Chicago, and he was married to a Fort Wayne girl and had three children. And, of course, he was in Germany when we came to Fort Wayne, so we had to wait till he got out of the service before we could get the original group together. But then Jack is gone, too. In fact, they're all gone. I'm the last one left. Jay Gould's gone.
Yeah.
Bob Severs is gone. The boys are gone. And I think they're still waiting for me to make that call. And I'm anxiously looking forward to it.
I've seen a schedule from 1952 that I just wanted to read this to you because it shows how busy you were with your performances on WoWo.
Uh-huh.
The Little Red Barn.
Right.
Mornings, Monday through Saturday, 6 to 7 a.m. Then there was a show called Hilltop Melodies.
Yeah.
From 7:30 to 8 a.m. Monday through Saturday.
Right.
Sam and Nancy's Friendly Kitchen, 9:30 to 10 p.m. on Thursdays. And the last one here is Roy Hansen's Folk Music Time, airing from 1 to 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
Yeah, he played a lot of the old songs that he enjoyed. And then he had his own little comedy routines and things that he did on that show. Then they had a, I think it was like 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, where they had different kind of things going on. They always asked us to come in and play a song or two on that show. I can't remember what the name of it was. Then we had a lot of road shows. I mean, we went out on the road quite a bit. We were kind of busy people. I loved every minute of it.
One of the interesting things that we have on thehistoryofwowo.com is some images of scripts from the Hoosier Hop. And I found it interesting that, you know, all of the comedy bits and everything were all scripted out. I think this was for the network broadcast.
Oh, probably. If it was a network, then yes, we had to have scripts. We just, before the program, we'd rehearse, have probably one rehearsal so we knew what was going on, and then we'd just go ahead and do it. But the regular shows that we had were all no script of any kind, just our music arrangements that we had. But the rest of it was all just whatever we thought about at the time, we just talked about. Oh, then there was a time when we came here, we had Diane. She was 2 years old when we came to Fort Wayne. And then I was expecting a baby, and of course they let it known on the air. And the station had a baby naming contest. And they said whoever chose the name that we had chosen for, if it was a boy or a girl, they would win a washer and dryer. And a couple from New Haven, I can't remember who they were, but they won it because they chose Larry. And, of course, Larry is our Larry.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was I saw that there were some records that you cut, I guess, in the late 40s. One of them was called I Never See Maggie Alone.
Right.
That was actually kind of a national hit, right?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. That was, of course, came from Sam's music collection. And he had arranged it for the group. And Kenny Roberts, the other part of Sam, because they had a comedy routine. He and Kenny did the song together. Well, we had our record pressed. Well, the night after we had made the record, Kenny Roberts went to another recording company and did the song on his own. And then he had the number one record with that.
Oh.
So Sam said if he wouldn't have done that, we would have had a good chance of being there. But it didn't work out that way.
You recorded those where, in Chicago?
But no, I think it was in Detroit.
Oh.
I think we had to go to Detroit for that. Don't Touch It, I think, was another one that we cut, but it never went any place because then they closed down everything, so that was the end of that.
When WoWo went to disc jockeys and rock and roll music, what kind of effect did that have on what you were doing?
Well, we were told that we could have the Little Red Barn program as long as we wanted it to. So as long as we had that, we were happy because after a while that was the only show we had anyhow. And we were doing well with that, and we were getting a lot of shows and bookings and stuff, so we had no problem there. But then it turned out even better when Sam took over the music library. Then he knew he had a permanent job, and until he retired, he was in the music department, which he loved, because he used to pick out all the records that they would play on WoWo. To be truthful, he chose a lot of number ones, and some of he'd come home with and he'd always say, boy, that record's going to be a hit. And I'd listen to it and say, I don't think so. That's going to be a hit. And I'll be darned if it wasn't a hit. He just had a certain something about him that he knew which one was going to be a hit. He loved music.
He also was a disc jockey on WoWo
in
late 50s, early 60s. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right?
Late night show. And it was surprising there, too. He got mail from a lot of the foreign countries. And he was really thrilled about that. He said he didn't realize how far WoWo went. And he had a good audience for that show, too. But then after a while, you know, he could just do so much. And he had to be there at night to do that show and then get up early for work in the morning. That after a while, that gets kind of tiring, too.
Yeah.
So he had to give that up.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about. Was Sam's sense of humor the same when you met him as he was when I knew him many years later?
Yes, yes. His sense of humor was really something. Everything was funny to him. And that was good because I was just the opposite. But I'll tell you one thing about, too, when when I first auditioned with Sam's group, well, we had the same manager, and he said he was getting a group to go to Shenandoah, Iowa, and wanted to know if I was interested. And, of course, I was, because that was the time my sister decided she wasn't going to do the show stuff anymore. She was going to get married. So I went and auditioned with the group, and for some reason, I couldn't stand Sam. I came home after the audition turned up perfect. And when I came home, my mom said, well, how did the audition go? I said, the audition went fine, but I can't stand that accordion player. And here I ended up marrying him. So life is strange, isn't it?
Do you have any thoughts about just the whole WoWo experience, what it meant to you?
Oh, I prayed since I was a little kid because I loved music. I worked on a farm. I started when I was 9 years old. My sister was 12, and that was during the Depression when you had nothing. So we tried to find jobs on farms, and we found this one farmer who hired us, and we worked for $3.50 a week, my sister and I. Well, we were bringing $7 a week home. That was good money in those days. Mm-hmm. But the farmer there liked music, too, and he had a Victrola. So he used to play these songs, and then finally we started singing them, my sister and I, and he bought us a guitar, bought us a book to learn how to play the guitar, and we started singing, and that's how we got involved in singing. So we worked, and we still found joy in what we had there with the guitar and music. And then we went on to do, I think if we'd have stayed together for a while, we might have done something with our musical lives, but it wasn't meant to be. I was meant to meet Sam, so that wouldn't have happened any other way.
Well, Nancy, this has been a real pleasure, and thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Well, I loved it, and I missed the days that we had together there. Whoa, but maybe one of these days I'll see you again. So take care, Randy.
All right. That was great. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, hon.